Welcome to the Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
This week, we're joined by actor Joe Williamson, star of Apple TV Plus's new hit show, Blackbird. We'll talk about his new role, his times on the set of legendary hits like Grey's Anatomy and Ford vs. Ferrari, and his take on raising two kids. We'll also recap my trip to Cabo, Tommy's upcoming fishing trip, and my daughter's dominating performance in the junior lifeguard pier swim this morning. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
Come on, who's not fired up when you hear that?
Oh, I just want to like drop half the clothes off and start dancing, Tommy.
Let me tell you. I mean, get the punching bag out,
mm-hmm.
do the moonwalk, do your Irish jig.
And you can do the moonwalk.
Crack a beer.
Crack a beer.
Make a drink.
Yeah.
Have a toke.
Hug somebody you love.
Man, what a great pod.
That's right. All right, so thanks, everybody.
All right. Well, Chris, we're going to jump into our three W's. You're like jumping out of the seat over here.
I can't
wait. Going to immediately go into where you going, what you're doing, what you're excited about. Brought to you by Postal.io. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? Sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal's offline marketing software. Postal helps companies to create meaningful connections at scale while tracking it all in your CRM. Learn more and get a free trial at postal.io/dads. Chris,
yeah,
you're pumped up, buddy.
I'm pumped up.
What's going on?
What happened with Lainey? This is what I'm excited about this week, Joe. So my daughter's in junior lifeguard. She's 11 years old. Lainey Love Parrish. Okay, just turned 11 in June. Second year of junior guards, and they had the pier swim today. So they swim all the way around the pier, which I would never do.
No,
I would never physically be able to do it.
I would never attempt.
Yeah, you would try, but it's not going to work.
I'm afraid of sharks.
Yeah. And she's I've coached her in sports her whole life, and she's not fast. She's quick.
Okay,
soccer. Basketball sort
Important
of thing, but you put her in the water, it's crazy how fast she is. She did like a 133 on her time, and you need to beat 150 to get into junior guards. But anyway, so we go down this morning. It's at 9:30. Amy and I ride down on the bikes, and we go to the pier. We meet friend of the pod, Brett Johnson, and some other people there. And all these kids are in the water to the left of the pier, just south. And they've got to swim out, and then they go all the way around the pier. And then they come back in. I don't know how far it is, but it's scary as hell. And she woke up this morning, and she said she was a little bit nervous. She's like, Dad, I'm nervous about this swim. I said, why? She's like, well, just somebody said there's a bunch of, like, stingrays and stuff, right? And I said, well, listen, you're on top of the water. The stingrays are not going to come up and get you. They don't want anything to do with you.
Right.
I'm not positive that's true, but I feel like it's true.
No, it is, because you step on them.
Right. Or else we'd all just be out there surfing, getting stung all the time.
Ding, ding,
right?
ding.
Just your arms hitting stingrays all the time.
She
it
gets
doesn't
out
happen.
There
doesn't
when, happen. And they're kind of far away, and they're all wearing the same uniform. And so, like, Amy and I are trying to figure out where she is. So we're kind of looking at, like, middle, back of the pack, right? And all of a sudden, she comes around the point of the pier, and my buddy Brett is like, that's Lainey right there. She's, like, number 8 out of 70-odd kids. She's right at the front by, like, the top. And they're swimming. And she's just cranking. She's waving at me while she's swimming. I can't even, I mean, I can swim, but like not swim, right? She comes around, and then they're coming back into the thing. And the thing is like you're waiting for a wave because you're just swimming against this current. You're not even moving. All of a sudden, the wave will bring you like 20, 30 yards or whatever. Anyway, she gets in, number 8 out of 75.
That's huge. Wow.
Didn't even look tired. I'm balling.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe this little thing. Joe, you were talking about how like your daughter was just like this thing. You vividly remember her coming into the world. And with Lainey, I do too, right? And,
yeah.
And she just accomplished this thing, and it's crazy time when we go to the beach, and, like, you're watching your kids like a hawk. And I'm like, what the fuck am I watching Lainey for? I need her to watch me.
Lainey should be watching you, yeah.
It was incredible.
That's awesome.
I love you, Lainey.
That's
you're
awesome.
So awesome.
That's amazing.
Well, you're definitely excited about that. But it seems like you got some kind of tan going on here, too. did you just get back from...
I was in Cabo. We touched on the spray tan last week.
Yeah.
I think I had a little bit of natural tan. We went
Thursday.
How
did that work out?
You know what I was told? That my skin-colored tank top looked a little bit better on this trip. That's what I heard.
Oh, so there was a survey monkey, and it was handed out.
Yeah, so everybody sort of checked in. How was the service?
Uh-huh.
You know, do you need anything? What does Chris's tank top look like?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Went to Cabo, this place called The Tape. My friend Alex's birthday. Group of us went down there. Never been to Cabo. And so, you know, we've been to Punta Mita multiple times, which is like the jungle basically. And you got these little golf carts. Cabo is different. Cabo is like, we were in this hotel. You're kind of on this highway right by Home Depot.
And Cabo's like LA South, basically.
Yeah, there's like San Jose Cabo or something on one end, and then there's Cabo San Lucas on the other end.
Yep.
And you know, you go to bed and you're like on or you're on your balcony at night, and it's like you just eat two points of light, and they're both Vegas on either side.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We got on a boat. My friend Chris rented this boat for his for all of us for his wife's birthday, and we went out to these arches or something. They're incredible. You kind of go out in the bay there. The crazy thing was he hired a saxophone player on the boat.
Oh, wow.
So
classy.
It really was. It's like you're just having a taco, and all of a sudden he's like.
So it's like you had Kenny G almost.
It was like having Kenny G on the board.
But it was like Kenny G.
It was Kenny
G.
It's weird because I would never put saxophone player together with on a boat. But now that you've said it,
I can't ever go on a boat again without a saxophone player.
Was there shots at tequila?
There were shots of tequila. There were at one point it's sunset and he's playing like the St. Elmo's fire theme or something. I don't remember. But anyway.
Wow.
And then these manta rays start jumping out of the water. And I think it's I don't know if they're mating or not, but they might have heard the saxophone and that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I got to post a video on it on our Instagram page, but it was just you're on a boat in Mexico. We're all wearing white. I was wearing linen.
All white. Boat party, Cabo.
Saxophonist.
Manta rays jumping.
Manta rays jumping. Wow.
It was a nice little trip.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like fantastic.
We did like a farm to table dinner at one night. They had a really nice burrata salad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sponsored by Elon Musk.
I don't know how much Chris paid for this.
Sounds rich.
Yeah.
Expensive.
Yeah. I did have to chip in for one dinner.
Hey, you know what? That's what it's all about, having good friends like that.
Yeah.
And celebrating someone's 50th, that is just super fun.
I never said she was
50. Whoever's birthday, however old they are, fantastic idea, getting friends together, period, end of story. Cabo, wherever it is, that's just great, man. Mm-hmm. Look like you guys had a blast. I'm pumped up for that. That's awesome. And now you're going somewhere else that you're still excited about. What's going on here?
We're leaving on Tuesday. We're driving up to Utah for a week or so. Nice. Got some friends who just finished. I guess everybody's getting places in Deer Valley.
Yep.
We're heading up there.
Nice.
Just put the Thule on today.
Love Deer Valley.
Borrowed from friend of the pod, Brian Coppola.
Yep, FOP.
And we're going to leave. Lainey finishes Jaguars on Monday. And then we leave Tuesday morning, about 10-hour shot up there, and we're going to do some outdoor shit.
Well, let's face it, guys. We only have 3 weeks left, and then we're back at school. We're very happy about that.
3 weeks from tomorrow.
Camp's all done, it's the last 3 weeks of summer.
I can't believe it.
I mean, it's flying by.
I know. Yeah.
And football's coming around the corner. Joe, I know you're a Buckeye.
I always get to this point in the summer where I never want to wish away the rest of the summer, but I start getting really anxious for football season.
I got no use for August.
Yeah.
Are you watching
training camp by chance?
I have not been. I'm watching
some training camps on NFL.
I'm weaning myself off. I'm just trying not to do it and I'm waiting till the season starts.
Isn't next week the Hall of Fame game?
A quick prediction from my alumni, fellow alumni from Ohio, from the Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep the "the" in there.
Are we going to do it this year?
I think so. I mean, we'll get into it, obviously. And, you know, I want to say I kind of love this dynamic. I've listened to some episodes of the show, Ohio State Michigan, because as a proud, very enthusiastic Buckeye alum.
Yes, you are.
My older brother and my stepfather are Michigan alums.
I love
that. So we have the whole
They did all the
there
reading.
There it is.
The house.
So you did the house divided.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, my older sister and I are Ohio State, and then those two are Michigan. So that's always fun, and we usually spend Thanksgiving together. So that's fun watching
big,
the game. After
big
that.
Saturday. There's some anger, some words being exchanged.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's awesome, and I'm super excited because I got a huge fishing trip that I've been
big
planning
time.
For over a year.
Yeah.
As we all know, the tuna run a very limited amount of time in Los Angeles or Pacific Ocean, Southern California. So for those that live in Los Angeles, if you've never been part of a tuna run before. Basically, when the water starts getting warm, and we had no May gray this year, which was great, and we've had some, above average 70-degree June, which warmed up the water. So now we're seeing, as of right now, you're seeing dorados, which are mahi-mahi, all around the waters here from Catalina to San Clemente. The yellowtail are abundant right now, but of course we're going to be going chasing the blues. We want the bluefin. And after last year's amazing trip, we decided to book the Thunderbird again. It's the number one charter that goes out from Newport to the same places where the San Diego boats go. So we're going to go out about 100 miles to the Cortez Banks, Tanner Banks area to go hunting for the big bluefins that are
around. We got them last year.
We got
started at like midnight.
Yeah, that's right, because the big blues do bite at night, and most of the blues do bite at night.
Yeah.
So it's kind of rare to get, but you do get some daytime bluefins, but nighttime bluefins, they just hit, because they're just like a bunch of school underneath you. You use the nighttime jigs, and boom, you just, once one fish on, then all of a sudden just like party on.
Yeah.
So very excited about that. I have five of my fraternity brothers flying in from all over parts of the country. Cleveland, Raleigh.
When's Anthony get here?
Kish gets in Sunday, and he's excited. Everyone's buying dry ice and coolers this time, and I think that's like the jinx, because when you don't prepare for shit, that's when you catch it all.
That's right.
And when you over-prepare, that's like, ah, shit, what happened? You know, and we are no rockfish for ego. Like, we do not want to fish for rockfish. It's literally tuna or bust.
If you want a rockfish, you can take a charter out of Redondo.
Exactly.
A mile out, get some nice rockfish, make some good fish tacos. No.
We want to own the sushi sashimi department at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
We want to have yellowtail, yellowfin, and bluefin. So stay tuned, everyone. We'll see what happens. But it's a two-day, two-night trip, Sunday back Tuesday. So very excited about that. But not only that.
Well, time out, Tommy.
Whoa. Yeah,
I just want to make sure this year you've got a huge opportunity to be part of day one. Because last year
I was big time part of day one.
Took six
after
naps.
After I caught my first fish, the pressure was off. But that is a new category. We're doing a Calcutta, and we're doing all these crazy categories. And one of them that we're like, what, did we miss a category? And it was like, who's going to take the most naps day one, day two overall? And
you the reigning champ?
Well, day one I was, but day two, that was Matt Paddock. I don't think he I think he got out of bed around 3 o'clock and we're pulling into port at 4:30.
Tommy got up with everybody else last year and then the first morning because he was the host.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kept disappearing. But you were pacing yourself. It was great. And then you were up at midnight for the blues.
Look, I have like Darren Mock.
Friend of the pod.
He's so concerned about what's going on with like the shitter situation. I'm like, first off, dude, after day one, after night one, going into day two, Monday, it's like a shitter that is straight out of a prison yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So forget it. It's all off. Your best bet is to use your wipes, you know, for some kind of shower system, and then hope that the door doesn't get kicked in, and then you're sitting there taking a dump with the door open because everyone's fishing, and that's the way they want you to shit.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way it happened last year. So that's what's going to happen on the tuna run.
So
good times, though.
A lot of room for ladies. If any ladies want to sign up for this trip,
good times.
We got space.
It's a great segue because I'm very excited about the Buckeye in the house.
Oh. Yep.
Actor from Apple Plus, hit new show, Blackbird. My friend, longtime Buckeye alumni, Joe Williamson. Yeah!
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate being here.
New South Bay resident.
Yes. August, September of... It's been a little less than a year.
Nice.
Moved to El Segundo. Loving it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loving it.
Now
I resisted for so long.
Great restaurants right by you, too.
Yeah. A lot of great... El Segundo's a great little town.
Jamie Antoinette is my favorite.
Yeah. I just passed that guy, the owner of that place, walking down the street the other day.
That's awesome. And they're expanding. They're getting a place next door.
Mm-hmm.
Best
and we've even
possible.
Got now, once the kids tasted Slice and Pint, now I can't even get Valentino's anymore. I got to drive to Slice and Pint. I mean, now it's, don't get me wrong, it's tremendous.
Yes.
But then if you got to sit outside and have a couple of beers while you're waiting, then you do it.
Yeah. I mean, if you have to take one for the team, you do.
That's another place we should have a...
Slice and Pint?
A podcast, a live podcast.
God,
Slice
amazing.
And Pint?
Oh,
or we could actually go to Jamie Antoinette and have dinner.
Yeah.
And have dinner at the pod.
And they'll go to Joe's house after.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And watch a Buckeye game on Thursday night. I love it.
You guys open on Thursday?
Here we go, folks. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Chris Perry.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. So, Joe.
Yes.
How did and when did you decide you wanted to be an actor?
Oh, boy. The origin question. I was... Excuse me while I open this. When I was young, I did school plays and, you know, this the normal... It's funny because I was just talking to my son about this on the way home from basketball. because for the first time he expressed, he was like, Dad, I think being an actor would be really cool. And I was like, just all these emotions. Like, no, son, no, you don't. But maybe it would be. I don't know. No, but I did school plays and stuff when I was really young. And, you know, always just remembered loving and stuff. And then I got into sports growing up, you know, played baseball and football and basketball. And I kind of just, it wasn't part of my world. And then I was in college at the Ohio State. And I was on track to be, probably go to law school. I was a political science major. My stepfather was in law, and I always liked to read, and I just figured, okay, that's something I'll do. And then I started taking some theater classes, kind of for the fun of it. And I just kind of really, I don't know, I kind of got bit by the bug. And then I would be watching TV, I'd be watching films, and I'd be like, wow, I think I want to try that. Like, I think that would be cool, yeah. You know? And so I remember I was in the Gulf of Mexico with my dad having a beer, and I was like 3 weeks away from graduating. And he was like, and he very fortunately for me had put me through college. So I didn't have student loans. Like, I was very lucky in that regard. And he said, what are you going to do? And I was like, he was probably wondering why I didn't apply to the law school yet. And He was like, what are you going to do, son? And I said, Dad, I think I'm going to go to LA and I'm going to be an actor. And it got really quiet. The waves were crashing. I'm just looking at him. And he said, okay, well, how about I drive you out? And wow. 6 months later, that's we drove great. Cross country. He moved me into LA.
That's great.
It was, yeah. So,
where did you live when you first moved here?
I lived across from Rock and Rouse on Poinsettia and Sunset.
Nice. Yeah. Dude, yeah.
Because I had to be... Yep. I had a friend, Matt Trinish, was living in Marina Del Rey, and I couldn't live there because I was going to be an actor, and I had to live in Hollywood. So I lived there. And then my...
Right by the Seventh Vale.
Yeah.
Right on La Brea.
And then my then-girlfriend, now wife, came out, and she was actually living with Trinish and the two women that he lived with. And I think she, at one point, said... I think she said she was basically going to move to Hermosa. And I was like, well, shit. Well, like, she was throwing down the gamut. She's like, we should probably move in together. So we ended up moving into an apartment in Marina Del Rey. And then I lived there for, you know, there or Venice for 15 years.
Yep. What year did you move out here?
I moved out here 2001. I moved out here 2 days before 9/11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We played UCLA that year. I remember that vividly.
Yes.
And we actually lost to Steve Belisari. Lost that.
Belisari. My wife went on a couple dates with him in college.
So. I heard he's a punk ass.
Well, he's a quarterback.
It's funny. We all kind of have that same story. When you move out to LA, the first thing you do is move like right into it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was 10 doors down from Chateau Marmont. I used to
go
to that Ralph's just to buy, like, I don't know what the hell I was buying, like frozen rice or something.
Yeah.
I saw Matthew Perry there one time.
Of course.
Friend of the pod.
Bottle of vodka.
But it's amazing now to think about going grocery shopping at the Rockin' Ralph's.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious.
Oh, God, yeah.
They had good talls, though. Good talls.
I mean, remember the second floor, the elevator? You then take the elevator down?
I do remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived right up there, right by Runyon Canyon.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Right there.
And there's a guitar center up there, too.
Yeah.
Used to have a Sam Ash, I think,
on Sunset.
The
street, Sunset.
Yeah.
Hilarious. There's a, what's that Mexican restaurant right there?
Oh, God, I forget.
It's famous. El Coyote?
Yeah.
Probably. No, El Coyote's on like Beverly.
Yeah, I forget what it was. But whatever. So you like in the South Bay?
I am. Yeah.
That's great.
It's, my kids are at the age where it was a move we needed to do. Venice and the marina in our neighborhood was great. We had a lot of friends and stuff, but it was just, it was getting a little dicey for us, and we needed a bigger house too, you know. Yeah. The kids are getting bigger, and we wanted to have the place where, like, okay, the kids hang out with their friends, but they weren't going to do that at our old place if they had to sit on the couch next to us. So now they've got a little more space, and they can kind of, you know, roam around a little bit.
Yeah,
that's great.
And yeah, so far so good. I mean, we're really enjoying it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So talk to me about this new show you got going on with...
So the showrunner on this is a guy named Dennis Lehane, who's the famed novelist, wrote Mystic River and Gone Baby Gone, Shutter Island. And then he's also a screenwriter. He got his start, I think, working on The Wire, actually, back in the day, and has worked his way up. And this was actually his first time being handed something and being like, here, go make it. And man, so far, I think knocked it out of the park.
So this is going to be up for Golden Globes, Emmys, or whatever TV awards.
Oh, I think so. And I think a couple of the leads, because it stars Taron Egerton and Paul Walter Hauser, Ray Liotta, and was final TV
Rest
project.
In peace.
Yes. Seppi Moafi, Greg Kinnear. I think that there's going to be no shortage of awards for it, I hope. I mean, the final episode streams this Friday. It's gotten a great reception so far. I think it was like 99% critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 95 audience score. Like, people are reaching out, like, just people I haven't heard from in years, and they're like, holy shit, you're
that's awesome. Yeah. That is so great, man.
So, yeah, it's really cool because, you know, you're part of projects and you never know. Sometimes you think something's going to be amazing and then it comes out and it just kind of, there's so much stuff out there these days, you know? It kind of just, if it's really good, it kind of just fizzles. This is come out, and when we're filming it, we all know. We're like, holy shit. I mean, we sat down before we started filming. We did, it's six episodes, so we did three episodes over Zoom on a Saturday and then three on a Sunday for the table read.
Oh, wow.
And I think that was the point where everyone was like, holy shit.
Right.
Like,
I can't imagine us now in a real place together on a location.
Yeah.
Working like, off of each other.
This writing is just amazing. And everything starts with the page. So you
Absolutely.
Have that. And then, you know, just Dennis put together an incredible cast, an incredible crew. Our cinematographer, Natalie Kingston, was amazing. We had some great directors. We had three directors, Michael Roskam, Jim McKay, and Joe Chappelle. And it's turned out, you know, it's everything you can wish for when you're part of a project.
Is it different? I wanted to ask you this. I got some questions about some other stuff you've been on, but you know, you were on Grays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For an extended period of time.
I was on parts of three seasons on Grays.
So you come in, you play the intern,
mm-hmm.
but you're coming into this absolute juggernaut.
Oh, man, I was a kid, too.
Right? And so, you're on this show, and I don't know, it's kind of like probably like you're just joining a band that's already like in the movie Rockstar or something, right? You just don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah.
What's the difference between something like that versus something that you're doing now where you guys, regardless of your backgrounds, you're all starting this thing from scratch? And this is going to be a huge thing. You're all feeling it at the same time. But you're creating that heat.
Yeah.
Versus like Grays, you're coming in and trying to find your way.
Yeah, totally different feeling. At 100% different. From this, we were all brought in. And, you know, everyone serves different roles and some parts are bigger and whatnot. But we're all brought in from the start and you're building it from scratch. When I got that role on Grays, it was, like you said, it was at the height of its popularity. I mean, the show couldn't have been bigger.
Yeah.
And those people, you know, those creators, Shonda, they had already experienced that whole kind of phenomenon. Holy shit, you know, our world just changed overnight.
Yeah.
So when we came in, I was part of the first batch of interns. We were just kind of accessories to that. We weren't like part of really being it, you know, experiencing that with them. It was kind of, I don't want to say it was separate, like, because that makes it seem like, you know, they were excluding us or anything. It was just, there was the main cast, there was the main people, and then they had to fill in other parts. I mean, it was a great gig. I think I did, I don't know, 20 odd episodes.
That's
and
lot.
Being a kid, and so I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I mean, and probably one of the most valuable lessons I took away from that show, besides just being on set and learning, because, you know, like I said, I didn't come out here knowing everything about the art or the business, but being on that set and just seeing professionals do their job, and then also seeing someone specifically like Sandra Oh, who could not be more kind or generous or just open-hearted with everybody that's on a set.
Yeah,
she was from, you know, a very early time for me in my career, she really modeled how I want to act when I, you know, as I've climbed up the ladder,
right?
You know, like she, because you know, it's a weird industry, and it's very, can be very hierarchical.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't say that right, but she was just an absolutely wonderful human to work with.
I mean, you know, again, I moved out here in 2000. I was a musician. I still am a musician. I always had a job, but like I'm in sort of in that scene. I was living in Hollywood, and I'm getting all my friends there. You know, anytime anybody says they're an actor, you say, well, what restaurant do you work at, sort of thing. Same with musicians, right? But, like, you know, you'd have friends who get, like, 15 seconds into, like, a Head and Shoulders commercial, and, like, we would all get together at a house.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just for that commercial to run.
I've done a Head and Shoulders commercial.
You know, you're not even done yet, but, like, you know, I feel like for every 100 people who come out here, one of them gets to do the stuff that you've been doing, which is where you've – I mean, look – you've been on some big stuff. You're on something huge now. But even to just do something, I love James Caan, right? For you to get like an episode on like Las Vegas,
yeah.
Like working with all these different people just must be absolute, like Mad Men. Like that's
nuts.
Mad
Men.
It's one of my like five favorite shows of all time.
That one was good because when I got that, Matthew Weiner, the creator of the show, I met him in the callback, and he didn't give me the part in the room. But he basically, you know, we talked for a while. I did my thing. We talked for a while. And then he looks at me and he tells me, and he goes, you can't tell. If you're going to be on the show, you can't tell anyone. It can't be an IMDb. You can't tell anyone. And I was like, okay, Mr. Weiner.
Right.
So I got the part. And in the episode, it's 15 years later, so it's not a spoiler. Peggy is having a really hard day at the office. She goes to the movie theater where she meets a man in some beatnik pants. We smoke a joint, and then she pleasures him with her hand. That's me. And my mother watched the show.
Wow.
But I didn't warn my mom.
No, no,
because I was like, man, she called me up, and I remember she's like, you couldn't have told me? I was watching with your aunt. And I was like,
oh,
Matthew Weiner said no. I can't tell anyone.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just, yeah, there's been a lot of really cool experiences. I've been able to be on some really big sets and wide variety of people. It's been a lot of fun.
It was nuts. I was looking a couple of weeks ago. Just literally everything. House, Gilmore Girls, Veronica Mars, Las Vegas, like CSI. Like, just, I mean, that's awesome.
You work with two guys, Khan and Leota, this year. The greats of the mafia genre, right? There have been staples for decades.
Yeah.
40 years maybe plus for James Caan, 50 years. Those are like iconic actors.
Yeah.
My
first day on set on Blackbird, my first scene is, it's a scene during, it was actually episode 3. But it was my first scene I was filming, and it's a scene between Ray and Tara, and I have a little thing at the beginning and a little thing at the end, and they have this beautiful scene in between. And I walked up, and I mean, I'm of the age where Henry Hill is just one of those iconic performances. And
can't,
you know,
be beat.
I was like, hey, absolutely. Ray, how you doing, man? I'm Joe. And he shook my hand. And he's like, you know, you were great on the table read. And I was like, that's awesome. He didn't have to say, you know, he didn't have to say anything to me, but you know, he did. And he was just such a dedicated guy. You can see how much he cared about it. And he's been doing it forever.
Classic.
Yeah.
He's a classic.
I want to ask one more question.
Ford versus Ferrari. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Just as a grown up in Detroit, you played Don Fry, who, like, when you grow up in Detroit, like, we've got all the history of the auto companies. And so basically it's a bit dramatized in the movie, but like, Henry Ford wouldn't let him build a Mustang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he had just failed, I think, with the Edsel. And then Iacocca wasn't at Chrysler at the time. This was like in the 60s. So like, they were kind of like secretly working on their own time, trying to find budget to build this Mustang, one of the most iconic cars in American history. Like,
yeah,
I guess just like, what was it like playing that role in this movie where it's you know,
it's
not part of the main conceit, but it's like all this Detroit background, which I grew up with.
Yeah, no, it was really cool. And it was especially cool for me because my stepfather had worked at Ford almost all his professional career. My uncle, like you said, growing up in and around Detroit, a lot of people are associated with Ford. So my uncle had worked with Don and Don's brother directly.
Oh, wow.
And knew him. And so I called him up, asked him, you know, what kind of guy he was, stuff like that. And then, yeah, it's just to, like, be, you know, like, Don had a very distinctive haircut. So every morning when I'd go in, they'd part my hair like almost above one ear, yeah. and then it goes over to the other. It was a lot of fun, and it was cool. And it's to be on a set of that scope. I mean, that's the biggest movie I've been a part of.
Yeah.
And Mangold, I loved him as a director.
That's Christian Bale and Matt Damon, correct?
Christian Bale, Matt Damon, John Bernthal. A lot of great people, and directed by Mangold, who is one of those guys who is born to be a director.
Oh, yeah, like, iconic.
I remember there was one day we were shooting on a track, and we have the whole cast there, which is huge, and then we have, 200, 300, 400 extras. You have real race cars, then you have CGI, these giant CGI screens as big as a house because they're going to put stuff in later. And they're trying to get Jim to set up a shot. And he's like, just give me a minute. And I just see his brain working. And he's looking around. And he just looks around for a couple minutes. And he's like, all right, here's what we got to do. This goes there. This goes there. These people here. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's a brain that was born to direct big movies.
So did he like line up shots as they were going to be edited? Like, so you saw the scene coming together when he just yelled that out?
Yeah, and they did a lot of pre-viz for the racing stuff. So you could, they knew exactly how it was going to look. But it's just, when you're a director, I've always thought like being a director in terms, I would enjoy, I think, working with actors and trying to craft performances and stuff like that. But there's so much technical stuff, and people do not stop coming to you with decisions that have to be made. And so you really have to have a decisive mindset, and you really have to, know your vision and have a belief in it and be like, no, it's this, it's this, it's this. That coffee mug should be red, not blue. Like, you gotta pay attention to the little details.
Okay. James Mangold is one of the best ever. And to have that kind of experience, that just to have that as a feather in your cap, that's just amazing. And such a young age. And I mean, he's a very handsome guy. So
very handsome.
I mean,
we're on a run right now.
I mean, you're on a run of handsome.
Well,
handsome
I think
guys?
That our female listeners are growing.
Yeah.
And I think they were at one time like in the 20%. Now they're in the high 30s.
All right.
So we're almost at a 60-40.
See if I can bump that up to 39.
This is going to turn into The View in 4 months. Like.
Why we're here is, the best part of the show, and it's about being dad. And I think that's where all of our friends of the pod and new listeners come on and are like, man, that was great. And a lot of the dads, when they come back to Chris and I, constantly say, I really relate to that, or related to that one story that, Andy Norman told, or Randy Wilson, or whoever it is, Ray Stevenson. And it's so fun, and we appreciate it so much, you guys opening up. But at the end of the day, your kids don't care about the vanity part of being an actor and these great, they're like, dad.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. You're embarrassing me, or you're hurry up or whatever. Stop.
Yeah.
You're annoying me. And you have I've already started to do that with a 9 and 7-year-old.
Uh-huh.
You have a
12-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so you're
gonna
in
be
the
me.
Thick of it right now.
Yeah.
You
yes.
know? Let's talk about just the big part. So, does your daughter starting to, like, does she have a cell phone? Does she, like, do texting with, like, boys yet and everything? And how do you handle that?
Well, she does not have a cell phone yet. She has an iPad that has an email address that she can message from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we are avoiding the cell phone until, what we've told her is when she turns 13, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just been trying to avoid it because she's got an iPad that she can be on at home, but when it doesn't travel with her, she's not bringing an iPad.
Does she check it in every night to you, or does she take it in and you don't?
It stays downstairs. It doesn't go up in her room. Okay. So, but it's shocking how already, like, we'll be sitting there watching something and I'll look over and she's kind of scrolling on her iPad and I'll be like, Maggie, one screen. You got one screen at a time.
Yeah.
If you're watching something with us, I know.
It's hard.
But then I'll see, and I've had to be really kind of get on my own ass about it because, it's just second nature sometimes. We're sitting there watching TV and scrolling.
And we got our phones and doing two things.
Yeah. But it's a whole, the technology stuff. And so, even when she gets her phone, then I think we'll probably try to push social media for a while.
Yeah, they don't need it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm sure her friends are already starting to TikTok or whatever. Oh, it yeah. is. So, I
my
mean,
son has friends who are on TikTok. Right. He came home from his friend's house the other day, and I was like, "What'd you guys do?" And he was like, "Well, he likes to make TikTok videos." I was like, "Oh, Jesus!" I mean, you know, and it's like I don't know. My wife and I, we talk about it a lot. It's like, I guess it's futile to try to fight it forever. It's probably going to be more productive to just try to educate on, like,
yeah.
All right, these are what it means. This is what it means if you put something out on the internet. It never goes away. It's always going to be there. And, you know,
I mean, it's a good avenue to be creative. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if you remember that video for the, there was some handheld camera that was like super shitty, grainy, black and white, and it's all I wanted.
Mm.
Just to like film something and be creative. And now, you know, she'll record like TikTok videos, but like she doesn't really have any friends on there. Like she's not sending it out, and as far as we know, it's private.
Yeah.
Probably not, but no, it's just...
Kids are making their own YouTube videos at 9 years old.
Oh, my son wants to have a YouTube channel so bad.
I mean, but like, it's crazy that they're doing TikToks, right. And they're probably going to be phenomenal content creators by doing stuff like that.
And my kids don't
know, all you're doing is telling some kind of story, and even TikTok.
I don't know if your kids are the same way, but my kids don't have, like, favorite actors. They have favorite YouTube personalities,
yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, Mr.
YouTube.
Beast, and like, you know, my son was just telling me about Mr. Beast, about how many subscribers he has and how much money he makes.
So
I think
crazy.
He was shaming me, but
yeah. You should be Mr. Beast, Dad.
Yeah, Dad, why aren't you Mr. Beast?
Dude, give
I'll
us some content.
I'll play him in the Apple Plus series.
What the hell's a movie theater?
Yeah. So what about your son now? How do you handle like him moving into a new area and integrating him into his neighborhood and his community? That's really hard, especially when they're in that age.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like? Because I haven't done that. I haven't had to move or anything like that. I'm kind of stuck in the bubble. Love it here.
Yeah.
Don't ever want to leave.
Yeah.
So what's it like? I mean, like...
You know, it's been challenging in different ways. We got him immediately into sports down here. So okay. El Segundo is a huge baseball town, as you know. So he immediately started playing fall ball, and then he was on a different team this year. So he's met a lot of kids that way. Like the second day we moved in, it just made us know that it was the right decision. Some 8-year-old kid across the street comes over, knocks on the door. He had seen the moving trucks. He had seen Bucky up front. He's like,
that's awesome.
I saw, do you have a son? We're like, yeah. And he's like, can he play?
That's so cool.
That's killer.
That's how
yeah.
we grew up.
And
how
now
we all
those
grew
two
up.
Kids play all the time.
That's great.
You know, so there's transitions, but you know, I think they're both doing pretty good so far.
That's great. I actually think I added you to the BCS flag football email, so you might be getting some of those.
Okay.
Did you sign up your son for BCS flag football?
Well, so he plays with a bunch of kids at his school. They play in a different league, a league that doesn't play the championship game at SoFi.
Well, see, that's
apparently.
What I did to the BCS.
I know. Okay, damn, yeah. I saw that, man.
Yeah, and El Segundo's part of, we're actually going to start using practice fields in El Segundo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to expand.
All right. Well, I've already signed him up for this fall for this the league.
Well, then spring is when they do play in SoFi.
Oh, wow.
So if he comes in for the spring.
What was that experience like? That must have been amazing.
We covered this.
Yes. It was
we covered this.
It was just
in many
as
episodes.
Fun
yes.
for the dads as it was yeah. the kids.
Yeah. 80% of our episodes are BCS related.
Having family come in and watch them and
yeah, that's
pump
so
those
cool,
kids
man.
Up to like, do you understand? This is where Aaron Donald runs out of the tunnel. My big thing... you know, you also have a wife that works as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to support her? Like when she has to be at work and you have an audition or maybe you have some extra time, what are you doing to support Joan?
That's a good question. She'd probably want to come in here and answer that.
schedule her.
You know what? I feel like we actually we work pretty well together and we're both really supportive. She's been incredibly supportive of my career. I mean, all last summer, while we were moving from one house to another, while she's got two kids at home, while she's got her own demanding career, I was in New Orleans shooting this show, and she just made it work. And when she has to travel for work, she's going to New York soon. I just make it work. You know, her job is doing a good job at her job is very important to her, and she's very accomplished in her field.
Absolutely.
And I'm very proud of her. I mean, this is a woman who started at a company 20 years ago, as the receptionist, and last year they made her a partner.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, that's amazing, you know? And so I'm incredibly proud of her. So, you know, we just figure out a way to make it work. And then also we're luckily getting old, and the kids are getting old enough now. Like my wife right now, it's 7:48. She's at a softball game. I'm here. The kids are just home watching TV. You know,
That's awesome.
They can contact us if anything goes wrong. So, you know.
Apple Watch. You guys meet in college?
We met in Key West, Florida on spring break, Chris.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Whoa, yes. What are those?
Wow. Yes.
Was she at?
She was at the Ohio State University. Oh, so but, you know, it's a huge school.
Of course.
I mean, they let literally anybody in.
Yeah, Key West, Florida, and then
you guys met in college. You ever sit here in, you know, the front porch in El Segundo or Tommy the Same, and you look around and go like, "The fuck are we doing here? Like, this is crazy. Like, there was nothing about our upbringings that meant we're gonna live like this far from the Pacific Ocean."
No, yeah, I know.
And cross paths.
Yeah,
and cross paths. Amy moved here for a year. 18 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and then she had the misfortune of meeting me, and she's a complacent woman.
Smart woman.
Smart.
I know. It is crazy, though. I mean, we're, you know, the town I grew up in Ohio, small town. My wife's from an even smaller town in Ohio. And we're out here making a life. You know, our kids are not going to, that we've tried to imbue the love of, you know, Ohio, obviously, and their Buckeyes and stuff like that. But, They're also L.A. kids. See, you know, they're growing up in L.A. They're not growing up in Midwestern.
That's why the Big Ten specifically chose
USC
and UCLA, because the most Big Ten alumni outside of their university area live in Los Angeles.
Really? Yeah. Is that true?
True fact.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So when they came in, they're like, if they look at all the Big Ten alumni, the biggest base is Los Angeles based.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, I guess that makes sense.
You look around Michigan, Indiana,
yeah,
you know, Wisconsin,
yeah,
Michigan State, you see a lot of, you know, so it's cool.
The couple next to us at our new house, he went to Michigan State, she went to Purdue.
Yeah, say Purdue. Yeah, I mean, it's great. Yeah. It's awesome. So, what life lessons have shaped you as a dad? Who has, like, what has happened to make you the dad who you are today?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a deep question. I think probably just, you know, I told that story earlier about me telling my dad I wanted to be an actor and his response. And I think I just, I try to just be there and be a good dad and be supportive. And, you know, there's going to be things that I don't understand. They're kids. They're supposed to make mistakes. You want kids. That's how they learn, is making mistakes. So that stuff is going to happen, and your kids are going to frustrate you. I think my kids, and I'm sure your kids would, and your kids would all feel the same, is like, there's never been a second of their life where they've doubted my love and devotion to them. You know, I would hope that's the case. Because I just want to just try to be there for them. Yeah. I want them to know whatever happens in their life, me and their mom are their first call. They can be their first call.
I mean, my mother, rest in peace, drove me nuts on a lot of stuff. She was an only child.
Mm.
She could be very dramatic. She could be victim-y sometimes. Mm-hmm. Which I take on, and I always think people are mad at me, right? Like, that's just, I get that from her, but those are small prices to pay for the fact that not one second in my life did I ever doubt how much my mother loved me.
Yeah. Right?
And that's the best you can do, because we're all going to have our things. My kids are going to grow up and say, Dad was grumpy on certain days, and Mom's a backseat driver or whatever, but they'll never doubt how much we love them.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, the unconditional value of love, like, it just goes on forever, and it's, you know, kinetic. It just touches another person's heart. That's a beautiful thing that you are doing to your kids and letting them know that you're present.
Yeah.
And that's always a big thing, is that some kids don't have, you know, the ability to have a father that's present all the time or around there, or that wants to be, frankly, you know?
Yeah.
And,
you know, as someone who grew up as, you know, with my dad as my hero, I'm fully cognizant of the fact that not every little kid gets that. And absolutely. So I want totally. I want my kids to make sure that they have that, you know.
Well, that's a great question to go right into. Do you consider your dad to be your role model? And what characteristics did you take from him that you are so proud to have part of you now and now your legacy?
Yeah, my dad, I would consider my dad my role model in a lot of ways. You know, he's been a great dad. He's just always been there. Always been there for me. He's a incredibly accomplished man, and you know, he's successful and he's smart and he's got all these great attributes, but none of that stuff is really the point. The point is that he's just always been there. He's always someone I can call, someone I can confide in, I can ask advice of. He's incredibly, you know, he's just there.
That's
it's not the most eloquent way to put it, but like,
well, that's presence, you know? And that's the ability to then reach out and have a question.
Yeah,
I'm thinking this. What do you think about that? You know, they always want to have your, you know, the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like to grill?
What do I like to grill? Well, I'll tell you what, because I know this is a question, and I was actually thinking about it on the way over here. So our new house, we've got the built-in grill. It's great. It's fine. Whatever. Mm. It also has a built-in pizza oven.
Oh, nice.
And
there we
it's,
go.
And listen, we've made pizzas a handful of times, and it's fun, and you know, it's a mess and all that stuff, but I am obsessed now. I've probably done it 6 or 7 times. I want to do it every night. My wife won't let me.
Oh, yeah.
You fire that thing up. You get the wood in there. You fire it up. You get it to about 750 degrees. Get a big old cast iron. Put some New York strips in.
Oh, yeah. That's
salt, pepper, oil them, whole mushrooms.
So you're not leaving till Sunday. I'm free all weekend.
It's you guys should come over and
I mean I have a bunch of fishermen coming in from all over the country.
We gotta eat.
It's true.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's amazing.
It is 6-man weekend too.
Is it really?
Yeah. So it starts Thursday. Montpaul is gonna get there tomorrow.
Probably.
I'm sure.
Montpaul's already there. Friend of the pot.
Yeah, friend of the pot.
With his lemons.
With his tasty lemons.
I got a bag of lemons from 36th Street. do you have any dad jokes? Did you?
Sure.
Do you have any jokes that you grew up listening to and that you use on your kids?
Yeah. I mean, I have. You know, I'm prone to say the cheesy dad joke.
Can I tell my dad joke that I invented?
Of course.
I've never done this.
Okay.
Why do little kids get so angry when they go camping?
Why?
Because they're a little intense.
That's a good one.
I like that.
I mean,
I invented it.
I mean, someone's going to say that.
How do you find Ronald McDonald on a nude beach?
How?
Look for the sesame seed buns.
There it is.
That's a dad joke right there.
It is a dad joke. That is one. I like it.
That's just basically a good joke.
Have you been to the Top Golf yet in El Segundo?
No, I haven't because... The one time we tried to go, it was like a 6-week wait to get a bay. I mean, I drive by that place every day, and the parking lot is
full.
It's overflowing.
Yes.
Yeah. It looks amazing.
Have you been there, Tommy?
Yeah, I've been there once, the opening weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's where you're texting everybody to get Ubers.
Yeah. I'm like, don't ever. Yeah.
Have you played the course, though?
No.
I got to tell you, the course.
The lakes course there.
Yeah. Don's the golfer.
I just take the boy I caddy for him, basically. My buddy Jeff and I took our kids last week. I bring like a pitching wedge and a putter. But the kids just get to play, and it's not jammed
up. Are you wearing
up.
A polo, or are you just wearing tank top?
Dude, I wore no sleeves whatsoever. I've never worn a sleeve.
Flesh-colored tank top.
Yeah. In fact, I feel like a banker right now. Yeah. And you just get to walk. It's $25. They'll let you tee off by yourself. Nobody's up your ass or anything. The kids are just hitting. A little bit of music playing. They've really manicured the course. It's tremendous.
Right.
Top Golf is a scene.
Yeah.
It is a scene. And
I've only done Top Golf once, not this one, but it's fun as hell. I mean, you know, you get
like
a bunch of people.
Last
but...
Monday, I took the kids.
Okay.
And just like a Monday, it's kind of wide open. You walk in. Yeah. Friday night, I would hang myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you do anything to start giving your kids like the experience of outside the norms, meaning that like, the hard stuff of life? Are you making them do chores around the house? Starting to think about how they're gonna like earn side money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when do you still like the monetary fiscal, you know, side of a kid?
Yeah, they have for all some their job all summer was they could not miss a morning of picking up dog poop. Because my son really desperately wants to get a tortoise and my daughter wants to get a cat. And so we said, if you can go two consecutive months picking up dog poop without us telling you, without us warning you, also feeding the dog, my daughter has to do, she empties the dishwasher. My son takes the trash and the recycling out. He said, if you can do that, then we'll talk and we'll get your pets. So they did that for two consecutive months. We haven't got the pets yet, but we're going to. But then my son cornered me the other day, and he's like, I don't want a tortoise. He's been asking for a tortoise since he was like five. He wants a snake.
Oh,
no way.
I fucking hate snakes,
no
too.
No way.
He knows it. Oh, he knows it. But I think I'm going to end up breaking just because I do love him so much. But
if you love him, don't get him a
dragon lizard. Get him a dragon lizard or something.
He's determined
something
for
a snake
now.
Something you just feed crickets,
now.
Not like
I might get
rats.
A cat.
We're going right into the next part of the show, which is our Friends of the Pod segment.
Okay.
I get to read this.
Yeah, we're testing new avenues here, folks.
Friends of the Pod, brought to you by South Bay's luxury realtor, Brooke Billings. Looking for a home to buy or sell in Manhattan Beach or Mosa Beach or anywhere in the South Bay? Why do you have a comma? Should be a question mark.
Listen. Just read.
I feel like
just read it, Ron Burgundy.
Don't start words.
I feel like Ron Burgundy.
You need to write this.
Looking for a home. All right.
I'm the Buckeye. I'm the numbers guy. Right. You're the Michigan grammar guy.
All right. I gotta write question marks in here. Friends of the Pod, shout outs. Brought to you by South Bay's luxury realtor, Brooke Billings. Looking for a home to buy or sell in Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, or anywhere in the South Bay? Look no further as the one who gets the best results and the most market value for your home is none other than Super Dad himself, the handsome Brooke Billings, servicing his hometown Manhattan Beach and more for years.
All right, we get some Friends of the Pod shout-outs here. I think we got your boy out of New York City. Who do you got there?
Dougie Baird. Dougie, one of my dear friends, huge friend of the pod.
Huge friend.
Texts me. Every Wednesday, he gets updated. He downloads the pod. He either goes to the gym or he runs around Central Park. He lives in Tribeca. He lived here. I've known him for 10 years. Used to live on 18th Street. Moved to New York City last June, but he was in town for the entirety of the month of July.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. Played a bunch of pickle. Got to see Macabre this weekend. We're going to go there for New York City for Thanksgiving. Huge friend of the pod, Dougie Baird.
Nice. A tuna guy... tuna fisherman named John Spiker, also one of your buddies in Cabo this weekend.
One of my buddies in Cabo looked fantastic. We had two nights in a row. He had to dress neon Friday. He had to wear all white on this boat Saturday. He brings it out to the nines every time.
Spiker is a very dapper dresser.
He is. And he wears a kilt at Christmas.
I mean, dude, he's just a stud. Yeah. And
former fellow Ohio guy.
Dude, he just brought back some stadium mustard for me. And
oh, wow.
He gave me, like, not only just the stadium mustard, he gave me, like, fresh hot dogs that were, like, handmade from the butcher, a pack of rolls. And a white onion.
Ooh, very thoughtful.
He's like, here you go. Yeah. Enjoy this with the stadium.
Very
thoughtful. So it's like he feels it. The energy's coming in. Like, you know, when you're in Ohio, you got to stop in and get some stadium mustard.
Yeah,
it's
you have
the
to.
Best fucking mustard.
You gave me some last week. It was gone in like 2 weeks.
It was amazing. So
or last year.
Big, big shout out to John Spiker. And I think we had a good one today. Matt Trainish, that was another good one. So it's hopefully a friend of the pod. You can tell him to listen to this show.
Yeah, tell him.
You know, so who else we got?
So I think we all in this week got South Bay Magazine, and there's a prominent article about Celaya Tequila with our friends of the pod. Ryan and Matt Khalil were heavily featured in there. So good to see them in there.
Yep, absolutely.
Procured a photo shoot. As they do, they both look great.
Are you in the background without your sleeves? Anywhere?
No. I was told not to come over that day. So they both look nice. Okay. They're wearing button ups. It's very classy.
Yeah.
It's in Ryan's courtyard.
It'd be great if
you're
just in the corner, like the back corner, like kind of
like
keep pushing
that, lurking.
Just for those who don't know what bokeh means, it's like blurry in the background.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Should have been in the backyard.
It's like,
doing
is that Chris Paris? It's like, I don't know, that or Bigfoot. I can't really tell.
See?
You know what I mean?
And it's like an Easter egg. It's like a mystery.
Yeah.
I got one more, Tommy. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Brian Coppola. Who is, if you walked by it, Joe, on your way in, he's letting me borrow his Thule next week into Utah.
There you go.
He's going to Italy on Thursday.
I call that the babe magnet.
The Thule?
Yeah.
Oh,
top.
Yeah, just surrounded by ladies. You're standing on your car, you're swearing, you're sweating, your kids and wife are asking why this is taking so long.
From Ohio State down to Panama City, in 1993, like spring break, four of us from Ohio State down with in a Hyundai.
Oh, boy.
There's actually five of us going from Ohio State all the way to Panama City, and with the babe magnet on top.
Five deep in a Hyundai.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I mean,
it's really convenient.
That was a story and a half.
Yeah.
So, Casey McKinley was part of that. He was a friend of the pod, and he would drive down, and I think it was through Mississippi. He would just play "Turn Around" by Bonnie Raitt, whatever that woman. I don't know who sings "Turn Around" every now and then. And then he'd turn around every time.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart. And I'm in the back, and finally I just snapped. I'm like, "Stop fucking turning around, man! He's doing it for 2 hours playing the same song. I can't deal with it anymore."
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. So, but good stuff. I mean, so look. Thank you for all of our friends listening. Some quick housekeeping items. We're going back to school, which means that there's a whole laundry list of things that dad should be looking at health-wise, getting like your colonoscopy checked, all this stuff we'll talk about with Sarah Kersey. Dr. Sarah Kersey's coming back on the pod.
Return. You just, of all the things you could have listed, you're like, hey, let's get a colonoscopy. Like out of fucking nowhere, man. You lasted
longer.
Have you
talked to your doctor
week.
About a colonoscopy?
We had Mr. Brooke Billings on the pod last week, and about 20 minutes into it, Tommy lost it. So today was a record.
That's hilarious. All right. So
anyway, we got the big colonoscopy pod.
Yeah, we'll do some good stuff.
The annual colonoscopy.
Do it right from the operating room.
Two-time Stanley Cup winner. Anje Kopitar coming on.
Excited for
and
that.
I'm hoping that he can get his brother Gaspar on so we can have the Kopitar brothers. Because Gaspar is a new dad, too. I think he's got like a 12-month or 18-month old now. Beautiful Tessa. So to get them to come on and talk about being a dad is going to be fun, too. And who else we got?
Lizette Ludwig, local influencer.
Okay.
She's going to talk about men's skincare and taking care of yourself in the sun. Colonoscopies. So she brings me the whole menu with her.
Sponsored by Get Colonoscopy right now. Yeah. Listen, we're in August. The tuna are running. We thank you guys so much for taking time to listen to us.
Thank you, Joe. I'm sorry about the last 5 minutes, but it's been awesome watching Blackbird blow up, and I can't wait to see your future work.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being patient with me running down your resume.
Yeah, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Williamson_Joe Instagram.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And
Tommy,
Chris,
what's our Instagram?
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same thing.
We're all old dads. We don't have it.
It's like, at Dad's Night Podcast on Instagram.
Send us an email at dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com. Listen, we appreciate you guys reaching out to us, and thank you so much. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality.